Hello, and welcome to Once Upon a Time, the unofficial guide. I'm your host, and I'm joined by the fabulous
Christina.
And tonight we're going to discuss the final episode in the first half of Once, entitled Swan Song. Christina, what did you think?
There are too many feels from this episode. I was very happy to see Zelino whisked off to Oz. Like, go Regina. To me, that was the highlight of the episode. And what Regina said, you know, back to Oz, which I was so happy she finally got a little bit of her own comeuppance in the episode. So I'm glad she's, you know, out of the equation now. And happy that Emma is now, well, what we think is as freed from the dagger. So she's back to being, like, quote unquote, good again, or, you know, back to her old self.
Right. Yeah. I loved the episode, too. I agree. Lots and lots of feels. the highlight, for me was, seeing Zelina being sucked into that green tornado, screaming and wailing. It was so good. So gratifying.
Right?
See you over the rainbow.
The only thing that pissed me off was that we know that this won't be the end of Zelina because as of last season, she is now a regular on the show, so we know she'll be back for the second half, but we just don't know when
exactly. And that's cool because I'm curious to see what her entrance is going to be like.
Because we know in the meantime that Robin and Regina will be naming Zelina's daughter, so she's gonna be peeved about that, and then not being there for the raising of her daughter. Like, how is that going to affect her?
Well, depending on how long she's gone, you know, she might come back, I don't know, 5 months from now, and the baby's still being swaddled in a blanket.
Right. And then we found out tonight that, you know, she hadn't changed that. Despite holding her daughter in her arms, it wasn't enough to make her want to change her ways. And she said she wanted to raise the baby to be wicked. So it was the best possible solution for right now that she went back to Oz.
Exactly. I mean, because they had that ticking clock between, you know, the moon rising and all the dark ones coming back in. Even if she had given some thought into, you know, changing her ways, that ticking clock was such an opportunity for her to be like, well, you're going to be dead. And she said it. She said, you're going to be dead, so I might as well just relish this and get what I want. What were some of the other things that stood out, just in terms of highlights?
Towards the end, when Emma decides that she's going to absorb all the darkness and sacrifice herself for the good of everyone else to save them, I was a little bit confused because I thought at the end of season 4 and that finale, when she became the Dark One, that she did absorb all that darkness, because we see all that blackness being tethered to her, you know, by way of the dagger. So I was kind of trying to figure out, okay, well, you know, if she's already tethered to the dagger, how is she supposed to absorb more darkness? And, you know, how is that going to fall into play?
Right. And just for any of you listeners out there who need a memory jog, this episode was basically a continuation of last week's storyline. Basically, Emma is faced with challenging and stopping Hook with his plan to, and, you know, enact revenge against Rumpel, which would effectively destroy Emma's family's, well, to destroy her family, right? So we see her tackling this, and one of the main resolves in the early part of the episode is she realizes she has to sacrifice herself. So I was confused too. I was like, well, I thought she already did that. So, and if she kills herself, where does that leave Hook, you know?
You know, because somebody else would, I think, would have had to kill her, but I don't know who that would be. You know, I think she was going to have Regina do it because she told Regina, remember what I told you back in Camelot, that, you know, you promised me that if it came to this, you would sacrifice me for the good of everybody. But then we find out that Hook ends up absorbing all the darkness, and Emma, he has Emma kill him, so that way her, Emma's family is saved, and Rumpel and Henry, you know, none of them have to go to the underworld.
Which brings us to one of the points that you noted in your handy notebook. Christina, by the way, diligently writes notes after watching all the episode all the way through. She watches it a second time and a third time and makes notes. So about, do you want to go straight into Rumpel and his little surprise, or Killian sacrificing? What point do you want to make first?
I guess we could go with Rumpel. I wanted to know, I think we've talked about this before too. Once the darkness was taken out of Rumpel at the end of season 4, and he is basically a blank slate again, it was my understanding or my belief that he still retained his powers of foresight that he received from the seer, because he received those before he ever became the Dark One. And so, since that was separate, he should still have been able to foresee the future. And I want to know, then, has everything that's ever happened in Storybrooke just been one big plot or plan of Rumpelstiltskin? Because with his powers of foresight, he would have been able to know ahead of time that he would lose the darkness so that he could survive, and that he would have an opportunity to take a part or create a conduit in Excalibur to absorb the darkness. You know, how is this all just a plot by him, or is, you know, like he said, is this just an opportunity of chance?
Right. I feel like it makes sense that it was just an opportunistic move, because there was no build. It was a great reveal. It was shocking, but I was less like, too much. He was too believable as the coward once the darkness had left him. Mm-hmm. And so I attended. And then also when he was trying to manipulate things when he thought Henry or some boy would be his undoing, he didn't have the full picture. He just had, a portion of that. So it's like, if he still has foresight, how much is he seeing? What is he getting? So,
and also, to add to that, we've heard from Emma a few times accuse Rumpelstiltskin of planning everything or knowing, you know, that these things were going to happen, that she would come back and be the hero. And she has accused Rumpelstiltskin of basically, you know, knowing everything that was going to happen in her life and, you know, kind of manipulating things to happen a certain way so he could get what he want. And, you know, accusing him of using her as just a pawn.
Right. So, which, if that's the case, if we find out that this whole time he's just been using everyone, I don't know how I'll feel about him going forward, because he used to be my favorite character. But if he knows this much information in advance, it's just like, what's the point? Mm-hmm. You know, that's just super sadistic, right?
Because, I mean, how many times is Belle going to be played? She, you know, comes back, Henry calls her and tells her, you know, that Rumpel was being, you know, so selfless in trying to help her get out of Starbucks so she could live her life and be happy and follow her dreams, only to come back and, you know, now he's the Dark One again. And
do you think that he'll be able to keep the secret that he somehow, and I don't know when he created the dagger, because mm-hmm. or a dagger, not the dagger, because if it's Excalibur is whole again, that mm-hmm. had to be like another piece of metal that he used, right? Like, we'll get into that later, but still, all of that aside, how is he going to keep this a secret from Belle? Unless he's, you know, using magic to keep everyone's mouth shut. Mm-hmm. Like, he can't, like, 7 people or 8 people know.
Because, well, for right now, it seems like nobody said anything to Belle. It looks like they just kind of, you know, packed whatever few belongings they had and, you know, went to the underworld. So who knows if Belle even knows that he's leaving to go to the underworld. And, you know, their time frames in different places are different than our world. So, you know, they could be gone for weeks and come back and it's only been 5 minutes. So for right now, Belle won't be able to find out because everybody who knows is going to the underworld. But when they get back, I mean, there's 7 people that know, so including Rumple. So I don't think they're going to be able to keep it a secret. And he's going to reveal himself. He's going to do something using his magic, and she's going to find out.
Oh, yeah. She may be helplessly in love with the guy, but she is perceptive, and she does catch him in lies. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's go back to the dagger. That, when he revealed it, and at first I thought, well, he just pulls the dagger out from under the counter, mm-hmm. and I'm just like, well, that's an awful place to put it, because it's like right there, but people right. can see, unless it's a newly created weapon, you know, and it mm-hmm. and that's why it's so close. It's just, you know, new. What do you think about the timeline on him creating it?
That was another thing that was a little confusing to me, because, you know, it was a little too convenient that Rumple has this bottle of quote-unquote magic that he just pulls out and pours a couple of drops on Excalibur, and, you know, he's able to then transform Excalibur into a conduit, and then magically this dagger, you know, appears out of nowhere. We don't know what it's made of, like you said, you know, if it's metal or whatever, and...
Or could it be that the magic he used not only forced Excalibur into being a conduit, mm-hmm. but after it's destroyed, does it then create...
A dagger. That's a good idea. I didn't think of it that way. That's a possibility, because you know they'll probably come back to it in 5B and, you know, show some example of whatever, but it just seemed kind of, you know, a little too convenient to have that bottle of magic there when Rumple's been without magic this whole season.
Yeah, it was very close to being a deus ex machina. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wouldn't say it full on, but it did seem like, you know, the dove dropping off the magic out of nowhere, you know?
Exactly. And then placing the dagger right there in the front, like you said, where anybody could find it, including Belle, once she came back.
You, during the episode, wanted to know, what does he need all of this power mm-hmm. for? What is he going to do?
Yeah.
He has all of the Dark One's power harnessed in the dagger, including Emma's.
Right.
And
up until... he took the power out of Excalibur, Emma had been the most powerful Dark One to date. And not only that, but he's got the powers of Nimue and all of the other Dark Ones combined. Like, what does he hope to gain by having this power? Because now that all of the Dark Ones have been banished back to Hades or whatever, and Hook has been killed, right now there are no... enemies that are in Storybrooke that we know of. There's no one for him to go after. His arch nemesis is Hook, and Hook's in Hades, so you know, what's left for him to do.
He did say he wanted, like, going back to, was it, it was last season where he was trying to get his hands on, you know, the sorcerer's hat. Just having all the power in the universe. But I'm like, what do you do with that power if you're the, if you've taken everyone else's power? Doesn't that just make for a boring afternoon of like you're sitting around and you're the only one with that much power? Like, what can you do with that?
Well, in 4B, when he brought those Queens of Darkness, I think his ultimate aim in that season was to obtain all the power from the Sorcerer's Hat so he could leave Storybrooke and go see the world with Belle, because she wanted, you know, to explore and go different places. But, you know, if he is the most powerful being, then, you know, what's left once you conquer the world, you know?
Yeah, and it's, and I think he also wanted to write his own happy ending, which I wonder if he's thinking he can do that. But I don't know. I don't see that. I don't see Rumple having the dagger for very long, because it just doesn't make sense. I don't see the character progressing any more than that. When he was deemed the hero and it was one heroic deed after another, it really just seemed like, oh, this is a great new area for this character. Now with this, it's starting to feel a little too familiar.
Exactly. And I think he did like one heroic deed and then everybody was saying, oh, he's a hero now, and disregarding, you know, how many countless lives that he destroyed through murder and revenge and plotting against them. Come on.
I mean, it took them longer to come around and really believe in Regina. And I mean, come on, she put more work into it than Rumple.
Exactly. And also, you know, I was a little confused with how the writers wrote the season, because in the beginning of the season, you know, they made it appear as though Regina was going to be like the savior now, since Emma had become the Dark One, and then that went nowhere and nobody else was like stepping up to be a savior, or was stepping up to try and help everyone and break this curse.
Yeah, like a leader. And it seemed like it was building up that way, to be that way. I mean, just by how many times they used the word savior, you know. So what else did you write down in your notes?
Like, with everyone going to the underworld in 5B, will the fairies be the ones looking after Neil, Roland, and Robin and Zelina's baby, the unnamed child at this point? Is August still with the fairies? You know, because the last we saw August was in the building where the nuns slash fairies live, and they were taking care of him. So, and as far as we know, he hasn't died.
So is August back to being an adult right now?
Yes.
Okay.
They, when he was kidnapped, when Regina kidnapped him with Maleficent and they brought him to that cabin in the woods, Rumple turned him back to an adult.
Okay, so I'm wondering, like, he must be bored there, cooped up with a bunch of nuns. Or things are turning pretty salacious over in that nunnery. I don't know, that's where my mind goes. But who's taking care of the town? I know a mayor doesn't really have all the authority and power that they make Regina out to be in real life, but like, who's taking care of stuff? And, you know, half of their police force is gone. So it leads me to think, well, okay, how long are they planning on being in the underworld?
I'm kind of thinking that it may only be just a few episodes, just because they don't have they didn't take a lot of things with them. And we have, according to Adam and Eddie, who did an interview back in July of this year, they said that Maleficent and Lily wouldn't be in any of the episodes, at least until after episode 5. And we've now come through half of the season and nothing has been mentioned about them. So I'm wondering, okay, well, they're going to have to put them in somewhere. in this season. So they need to be able to come back from the underworld and talk about that. And also, the people who went to the underworld, there were only seven. They left behind Arthur, who's still in prison, Guinevere, and all the other people who were in Camelot. So they're going to have to come to some resolution with all of those people and try and help them get back to Camelot as well. So I don't foresee, you know, unless they're going to keep Arthur and the rest of the people from Camelot in Storybrooke, I can't foresee them staying in Hades too long.
Right. Like, I think at least for Emma, she's thinking of it as like just a retrieval mm-hmm. mission. And I also think you mentioning Arthur and Lancelot and everyone from Camelot, the people of Camelot probably resent Snow and Charming mm-hmm. because they're stuck in Storybrooke and they probably all want to go home. And so if that could cause potential like diplomacy issues if mm-hmm. if Snow and Charming and the lot end up going back to the Enchanted Forest, right?
Right. Well, and then also too, you know, we haven't seen Lancelot in Storybrooke, so I'm still assuming that he was able to stay in Camelot under the protection of his mother, the Lady of the Lake. So without him there's nobody else who's like a real leader in Camelot unless Guinevere is going to step up to the plate. And how is she going to then deal with Snow and Charming if they all go back to the Enchanted Forest?
Yeah, just a side, you know, that just popped in. You remind me, popped into my head. But yeah, and then who are they? And then I feel like Neil, if he makes an appearance, it mm-hmm. might be a little awkward. Like, I understand why Emma wouldn't want to you know, bring him back or what, just the various reasons for not, you know, getting into a relationship just mm-hmm. with him because it was a different part of her life. And that's why, you know, she didn't say I love you way back in the day. But I'm just thinking personally, mm-hmm. I'm foreseeing a lot of awkwardness. Like, she's bringing Killian back. He's already experienced death now twice. Mm-hmm. And even though the second time was totally unfair, I don't know if it's gonna be a good idea. And if she sees Bae, woo, I don't know.
I'm kind of wondering if Neil is going to even be there, because from what it looked like in the trailer that they showed after the episode, and then from what we've heard about who all is coming back for the 100th episode, it looks like it's just the villains that they're going to see. Like, they mentioned the Blind Witch, Peter Pan, Cora. I know Regina's dad's going to be there, but he was kind of working with Regina and helping her along. So even though he may not have been, you know, as evil as Cora or some of the other people, he still played a part in helping Regina to enact that curse.
Right. He was complicit in all of her evil doing. Mm-hmm. I think that it could end up being a realm that shows one of two sides. One being it's, you know, dark and hellish because that's where that portion of the underworld is where mm-hmm. all the villains reside. But judging from the trailer, it looks like these villains are wreaking havoc and having fun doing it.
Right.
So I'm thinking maybe this is in this reality, it's hellish only because the villains are the ones in power. Mm-hmm. So it's through their the heroes like Snow, Charming, Emma, uh-huh. through their
perception.
Thank you. Their perception, that is what makes it you know, hellacious. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's not so much them dealing with the real souls, but just, you know, does that make any sense?
Yeah. Well, and then I think they showed pictures of, I remember seeing somebody posting pictures of Neil, the actor who plays Neil, on set. And then, so I think he's going to be making a comeback. I don't know if it's just going to be a flashback or if he's actually going to be in present Hades or whatever. But then they also showed pictures of Mila making a comeback, Rumple's first wife and Killian's first true love. So And it looked from the pictures and from what people were talking about on set as though this wasn't in a flashback. So I'm sure she went to the underworld because she wasn't, you know, the most heroic or, you know, kind person. So I'm kind of wondering how that's going to play into Captain Swan, the ship of Captain Swan as well.
It might be like a designated realm devoted to lost loved mm-hmm. ones.
That's true, because all of the people, although I don't know how much of a lost one Peter Pan was.
But still, Rumpel's father.
Yes.
You know, related to, you know, love in terms of romance and also mm-hmm. on the expected unconditional love, because Cora is going to be there even yet. So I think it could be multiple scenes, you know, multiple, areas
of Hades.
Yeah.
Because we're also going to see the Blind Witch and Cruella de Vil, and neither of them were really beloved mm-hmm. by anyone that we've seen, except the author did have feelings for Cruella.
Is the author still alive?
Yes. Remember, he was trapped again in that page.
Okay.
And they swore not to let him out again.
Okay. Because I was going to say, if he's dead, then we're definitely seeing him in the underworld. What else do you got?
Well, it seemed a little weird that Emma told her parents, you know, or that she would meet them at Granny's, and then they're all at Granny's, but Granny's nowhere to be seen. So where was Granny?
Did she just step out and say, I'm going to let these people have their moment after, like, did she serve them and walk away? And
right. Because she came back with everybody from Camelot. So I was like, okay, well, we kind of haven't seen her for a while. And also, like, besides Hook, who else are they planning to bring back from the underworld, if anyone?
I'd like to know about where they're going to go with young Hercules mm-hmm. and Meg.
Right.
Because they've announced the casting of the two characters, and they're very young actors. So is this going to be a storyline in the rest of this season or next season?
Or even, you know, are they just going to be featured in these few episodes or however long they're in the underworld and then that's it? Or, you know, how are they going to be able to bring these characters into the realm of Storybrooke and the Enchanted Forest and everywhere and make it believable?
Right. Did we talk about when Emma stabbed Hook, about the whole darkness?
No, we didn't.
Okay. So the moment where Hook decides that he doesn't want to be the villain, basically, and he has Emma still almost in he has her restrained mm-hmm. through magic, but he's still deciding, right?
Right. And then he looks into her eyes as she's gasping for air, and he tells Nimue, you know, that he to stop it, and she's like, but you can't stop us. And then he turns around and holds up Excalibur, and all of the Dark Ones, it looks like, you know, their darkness is going, you know, being dragged back into Excalibur. And we, in a quick flash, we see Emma hunched over, but it doesn't appear that any darkness is issuing forth out of her. And then once Emma stabs Killian with Excalibur, then Excalibur disintegrates.
Yeah, and there is a wide shot. Like, mm-hmm. in the wide shot, you see all of the Dark Ones behind Nimue and behind Hook, and then there's also a few Dark Ones that they curve around and they start to... they're to Emma's side.
Mm-hmm.
So you see the darkness coming through them, but you don't see it coming out of Emma. And I was thinking, well, maybe because he waved the direction of how he waved Excalibur, he was mm-hmm. basically waving it in front of all the Dark Ones behind him, but he didn't do that to the ones at his side. So I'm like, well, we didn't see any magic issue forth. And but then when she stabs him, we see, you know, this wash of blue light, heavenly blue light, you know, come over her and stuff. So I'm just like, well, how does that work?
Right.
And was it, did it look that way with all the other ones? Because they're basically dead and they're mm-hmm. in need of a soul. And that's why, or what?
I mean, because she's still alive. And she's still tethered to Excalibur. So wouldn't, you know, and when in the season 4 finale, when she becomes the Dark One, you see all of the darkness that is flying around tether itself to the dagger, but it's all washing over and absorbing into her as well. So wouldn't you think that it would have to come out of her, you know, for her to come back to her old self?
Yeah, totally. So
and then she can and then the day afterwards, when we see her wake up, she's waking up hearing the voices. The dagger is calling to her. And so that's when she realizes that the darkness wasn't fully destroyed. And now she finds out that Rumpelstiltskin has the dagger.
Right. So, that, I don't know if they'll ever explain that. I think that might just have been a small... I almost said it's minor. A small detail. Mm-hmm. And who knows? The other thing that I want to know, or not necessarily related to the plot tonight, mm-hmm. but when Emma was in Gold's pawn shop, she attempts to use her magic on Gold, and she lunges forward with her hand out. I'm thinking, girl, you and all of you guys that aren't villains that mm-hmm. have magic, you guys need to figure out how to use your magic without giving it away that you're about to use it.
Exactly. I was talking with you earlier about this, but there's a 1990s miniseries entitled Merlin, and in that, Queen Mab's apprentice explains to a young Merlin that there are different levels of being a wizard, and like the lowest is when you're just like, you know, abracadabra, and then you use your sleight of hand when you use your hand to enact spells or different things. And then the top level is when you use your mind. So Regina and Emma and any of the other people who use light magic, they need to be able to figure out a way to just use magic with their mind so that people like Rumpelstiltskin don't see it coming.
They need to use the Force and figure out how to use their mind powers. They don't need to, they need to up their game, basically. Mm-hmm. So that's just a wish. For Christmas, I want that to happen.
Exactly. And speaking of wizards and magic, we saw Regina use that magic wand because now she has confidence in herself and she was able to send Zelina to Oz. So now that Regina has the apprentice's wand, will she be able to use that against Rumpelstiltskin, or what is she going to be able to do now that she has that magic?
Yeah, is there going to be a limitation with that, with what the wand can achieve mm-hmm. magically? I hope not. I mean, I know it's just the apprentice's wand, but still, I hope that even if she handed it off to Emma, I hope it is like a powerful tool, you know? Mm-hmm. So,
Another thing I kind of was wondering about is what happened to Killian's younger brother, also named Liam? I mean, now that we found out that Killian killed his father, you know, you've got this boy who's, you know, 7, 8, maybe 10 at the most, and is left, you know, an orphan. So what became of him?
And does he know that his older brother, wait, does he first of all know that his older brother is his older brother? Mm-hmm. And did he know that he's the guy that killed his dad? Like, did Killian just leave his dad's body there and walk away? Like, because if so, if this kid knows, then shouldn't it be time for him to make an appearance on the show, mm-hmm. seeking revenge?
Exactly. You know, what became of his life? Because we knew that Killian and his father both were able to live, you know, like a century, and they see each other later, which explains why his father hadn't aged at all.
But he looked so good. Yes, oh my God. So good. Well, what if Liam ends up being Hercules?
There's an idea, but I mean, Hercules, as far as we know, his father was Zeus and his mother was a peasant woman that Zeus had an affair with.
Well, I'm thinking in terms of maybe Liam and Hook's father. Hook's father was Liam's adoptive son.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And Liam ended up becoming Hercules.
Mm-hmm. That's highly plausible because Hercules was, in the Disney movie anyhow, was raised by two Earth people, so they may have just found him.
That's possible. I mean, I'm trying to connect some sort of dots.
Right?
If we're right in this speculation, you guys out there listening, go ahead and give us 5 stars, okay?
Exactly. Foreshadowing.
Anything else?
I also want to know, like, besides Hercules and Meg, are we going to see, and Charon, are we going to see any other Greek mythological gods, goddesses, heroes? You know, will this be it in regards to, the Hercules movie? Or, you know, who else might we see?
And maybe that keys into Lily's dad. Maybe Lily's dad is some sort of, you know, mythological being.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows?
Because a Greek god could turn... I mean, we know that Zeus, as a Greek god, can turn himself into anything. A lot of times he turned himself into an eagle and came to... before, you know, turning back into what looked like a human to mate with human women. So who knows?
Right. Is that everything that we wanted to cover?
Did we talk about Rumpel once he obtained Excalibur, why nobody took it from him?
Oh, no, we didn't. No. Okay, let's talk about that. Why? Okay, knowing what we know now, do mm-hmm. you feel like people should have been a little bit more careful with Rumpel possessing the Excalibur?
I do, because, I mean, look how many centuries Rumpel was the Dark One, and all of the death, chaos, and horrors he's inflicted on people throughout the centuries as the Dark One. And then knowing, once he was freed from that, how strong the pull back to darkness would be, I just don't understand why, once he obtained Excalibur from Hook, why nobody took it from him. Because people had to have known, because Emma came to Rumpelstiltskin and his shop to get Excalibur, so they had to know that he had it. So why didn't somebody, you know, try and take it from him? Belle, you know, tried to hold on to the dagger before from Rumpelstiltskin, so hello.
Well, I think a lot of it was the newfound belief in Rumpel being this hero.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to indicate that they didn't trust him like they did with Regina and also Emma.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel, in the past, I mean.
Right.
But I feel like, regardless of that, they should have seized the dagger and just tried using it or holding it hostage.
Well, people were using the dagger and mistrusting Emma all season.
Yeah.
So, you know, if they were doing that to her and they've done that to Regina and Emma, like you said in the past, why did they have any qualms about doing that to Rumpelstiltskin?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. excuse me. Well, we should probably wrap it up. We're getting close to 40 minutes.
Oh, wow. One quick question for the audience. Will we see Maleficent and Lily in 5B? Please, God.
Hopefully. Well, that about does it for Once Upon a Time, the Unofficial Guide. I'm your host, Thomas, joined by... Who am I joined by?
Christina.
And if you liked what you heard, go ahead and rate, subscribe, like, and comment. And go ahead and tell us what you'll be doing in the couple of months between now and the next episode. Bye!